You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes in an eye for an eye, but only if they're lowercase, Pete Schwabba.
That's me. Not into that uppercase kind of stuff. I'm a lowercase kind of guy. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you here on this Tuesday night edition of our show, which is unlike any other night of the week. We really bring it on a Tuesday, and we try not to make it feel like it's a Tuesday, even though it's a Tuesday. So welcome, wherever you're joining us from in our wonderful state here in Wisconsin. It's great to have you, whether you're joining us on the stream or the radio or the app. They're all great ways to access Nightlight. And I'm going to say right now, Conrad, so be ready. I don't usually do this because we get so many texts. I heard Aaron say it the other night, and I realized, yeah, I should tell people the phone lines are open. We do have multiple phone lines as of a couple of months ago. Sometimes I forget that. And they're fine phone lines.
We do have phone lines. Yes, we do.
They're wonderful phone lines. I encourage you to use them, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know what you're thinking throughout the show. We'd love to hear from you guys. And text as well. Either way works. Conrad, how can people watch Nightlight on the radio?
Yeah, of course, we're on WGBW, WISS, and Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on Facebook. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter or X, Civic Media or WGBW.
You said Twitter or X.
Whichever they prefer to call it.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it is fine. You know, I've been reading so much. The Super Bowl halftime show is still in the news. I almost introduced myself as Kendrick Lamar. I almost had a slip up, and then I realized, wait a minute, I'm not him. I'm a radio host. It's funny. What was the thing Chris Casper sent you? Chris Casper, one of our chums here at Civic Media, sent you. What was that? I'm going to look for it. Oh, it says, we can't confirm this or we can.
Well, it says, he said we'd fact check it first, and I didn't fact check the whole thing, just half of it.
Okay. But it says Roc Nation Jay-Z owns the rights to the halftime shows until 2030. It's no accident that Kendrick Lamar was the halftime show. It's also no accident that there were no white people on the stage at the halftime show during Black History Month. That might be the part we have to fact check. But are these Casper's words? He's saying, I'm all about that. I love the message.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no bigger stage that exists to promote such a message. I know Chris is a huge music fan. It says, this is the first year that I can remember that the halftime show wasn't about entertainment. It was about the message. Good stuff. It's interesting because I've been reading a lot about that message and more into this feud between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. And, that is who he took a big shot at during the show. And I have to say, John Egan, who is a friend of the show, he's been on the show a few times, and he did a fundraiser in Marinette a couple weeks ago for me, a local football fundraiser. John crushed, as did Johnny Beaner and Jessica Phillips, our other Nightlight friends. But John went to Facebook assuming there would be controversy right after the halftime show, and his post said, no one cares that you didn't like that. Oh, that cracked me up. And it's true. I immediately went to Facebook. It's kind of sad. Like, I wanted to check in with mostly people that live locally where I live. I knew, you know, I just knew certain people were going to have an issue with it. So I had to check. But it was John Egan's post that really got me going because I thought that was hilarious. I'm like, yeah, if you have a predisposition to not like something. But then when you really do listen to the words, like, I wasn't familiar with this song of Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us, which is
yeah,
just really aimed at Drake, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really biting.
Well, when that song was released, it was actually where they had traded off songs.
Right.
And Drake had a song, you know, before that, well, that wasn't Emmy nominated or Grammy, sorry, Grammy nominated.
Right.
So it just makes you wonder.
But he calls him in the song, he calls him a pedophile.
Yep.
Like, they're not pulling any punches. And It was funny too, though, when last night during the show, Mike Clemens was on, and I asked him if he saw. This was amazing to me. This was the halftime. I know the president was at the game. There were tons of huge athletes there and celebrities, but there had to be 20 people around Kendrick Lamar. And the security guys were shouting at the halftime crew to get out of the way. And Michael Strahan looked freaked out. Like, it made me think like there was some sort of nefarious message that they received or something, because they were getting him off the field like he was the president. And he's only like, he looks like he's about 5'4". He's not a big guy.
He's not tall. He is not.
He's got that cool fat. I could never pull off those bell bottoms. I wouldn't try.
I think you should bring him in the studio, you know, those bell bottoms tomorrow.
Who's to say I'm not wearing them right now? That's the beautiful thing about radio. Only the top half of me is on the screen. So you just never know. That reminds me of a great Seinfeld joke that he used to do, where he said, "What is with this guy, Jim McKay," who was a big CBS or ABC sports personality in the 70s and 80s. He's like, "Is he a real guy? Or is he like a Muppet? Like, no one's ever seen his legs because he's always sitting at a desk." And it reminded me, I have not heard the name Jim McKay in so long until I watched the film September 5 over the weekend, which is about the massacre in Munich. Such a horrible story from 1972. The Olympic Games were in Munich, Germany. And the entire Israeli team, I believe, was wiped out. It was like 8 guys taken out by terrorists. And this movie, it's like an hour and a half long. It's called September 5. There's not a huge cast in terms of A-listers, but it's so good. It moves fast. It shows you what kind of a position the sports crew was put into in Munich when ABC News wanted to take the story away and say, "We're covering this. This is too big for a sports crew to cover." And a young Rune Arledge said, "Nope, we're here. We're covering it." And they kept the story, and they did really good work. And you recognize some of the names. They went up through the ranks in TV broadcasting as the years went on. But really solid movie. Did I talk about this last night? I was still delirious. I was barely.
You did not?
Okay. I highly recommend it. September 5. It's not Oscar nominated for anything that I'm aware of, but I can pretty much guarantee you'll like it. A really good cast, a really good story, and a great newsroom drama, which I don't think there are enough of. So that's that. All right. So as I mentioned last night, and I asked Heather Heil this when she was here, we are past the holidays. We are past the Super Bowl. There is not a whole lot going on between now and summer. And that brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What are you most looking forward to between now and summer? We have all this downtime now. I think for me, it's the Oscars. I am really curious to see who wins this year when it comes to the best picture. But what are you most looking forward to between now and summer? There's a few things. You got the NCAA tournament. You got the Oscars. You got spring break. April Fool's Day. If you're that much of a knucklehead, you can't wait to play jokes on your friends. I get it. Maybe, what's the Memorial Day, I guess? That's a good weekend.
Yeah.
Kind of far away, though. So what are you going to do to get through winter? What are you most looking forward to between now and summer? What about you, Con?
Well, you took it right out of my mouth. March Madness is my favorite time of the year.
Okay.
So
that's the basketball thing?
Yeah, that's the little tournament that goes on in March. Just a little tournament. It's not that popular, you know.
It is probably... Seriously, I know that the Super Bowl's great, but the Super Bowl's one game, and it can suck, like it did.
Yeah.
Usually doesn't. But March Madness, even when the tournament sucks, there are 5 incredible games minimum.
It's amazing just to... I remember being in high school and sneaking my phone in and just having, like, 8 games on my phone.
Yeah.
It's me like, you know... pretending the phone's not there. It's just the best time of year. I just love being able to watch that many games at one time.
It's a thrill. It's great drama. It's a story you can't write the ending to.
Yeah.
And that's why, personally, why I like sports.
You never know what's going to happen.
You really don't. Same with a car chase or a bad haircut. You just don't know how things are going to turn out. Conrad sit in his classroom and would watch the games. I hope your parents are listening. What's that cheering coming from your phone, Conrad? Oh, that's, I bring my own fanfare everywhere I go.
I accidentally turn the volume on once and then my phone got taken away. So.
That's not so bad. You shouldn't have had your phone on in school, or you shouldn't even had it on your person. They don't let kids do that now, which I think is good.
Well, I mean, they have laptops and everything, you know, for the other stuff. When I was in high school, we didn't get laptops or anything. We had to go to computers, you know, and
yeah. Isn't that funny? You're already that guy. When I was in high school,
it was 7 years ago now.
Yeah.
So it's actually a while ago.
It's a half a generation.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that goes quickly. Hey, we have a really fun show for you guys tonight. At 6:35, Mark Motorson will be here. He is a retired Appleton PD detective who is also a sitting board member at the Appleton Historical Society. He does great work there. Mark is going to be here to discuss an event they have coming up at the Appleton Historical Society this Thursday, a true crime event. And who better to host it than a retired detective? He'll be here in studio answering our questions. And, you know, if you guys have a question for the retired Mark Motorson, you can call in or text as well. Be great to hear from you. Be part of the show. Also at 7:20, our old pal Rob Thomas, Madison-based film critic, joins us to talk about all the movies we haven't seen yet that he's seen. I finally felt like I was making headway. Like, I've only got 3 Best Picture films to go, and I will have seen all 10. And Rob's just so far ahead of me, but we'll get his take on. I know he's seen Paddington in Peru. Have you seen the Paddingtons?
I know it's a beautiful film.
I'm talking about like they're like neighbors or something. Yeah, right. I only know that from the Nicolas Cage film,
yeah,
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. So, but it did make me want to see Paddington, but there's a new one out. Rob has seen it. We'll talk to Rob about that. And he's going to let us know what's going on for Valentine's Day in Madison, because he is also the City Cast Madison newsletter editor. So 2 great guests, Mark and Rob, will be along. We'll be taking your calls and your texts all night. Our question, what are you most looking forward to between now and summer? It's a lot of dead time, a lot of cold months, folks. What are you looking forward to get you through it? This is Pete Schwabba, Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go!
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. Get up home. I want to drive them
home. When you're feeling blue. From the 920, Annie in Watertown says, spring. Yeah. It's a great one, Annie. I hope we have a spring. I hope it's like one of those great where it just kind of gradually warms up and then you see the trees blooming and the flowers. It's not one of those springs where it's like, oh, it's 10 below and now it's 50. Ideally, that would be great. But yeah, that's a very straightforward answer. Thank you, Annie. I said last night we would read the text we did not get to last night tonight. So, let's do that. Our question was, what was your favorite Super Bowl commercial? Do you want to amend your answer from last night, Conrad? Are you sticking with what you went with, you and your dad?
I got to stay the same as my dad. I really liked that commercial.
Keep it about the family. Yeah, it was a good commercial.
It reminded me of, you know, the old, like, 2013 commercials for Budweiser, you know? The good ones that they had.
Is that kind of a consensus? There was a drop-off, like...
Just for Budweiser. When they stopped doing the horses, I got angry.
When I was a kid, this didn't happen to me, but 2 friends of mine were leaving church one day. I was at a different mass that day, but they were leaving, and they said that the organist forgot the music. to play people out of the church. So they started playing "When You Say Bud Da 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 Da." They were playing the Budweiser song to get people out of church. Which I think
that's
is pretty
great.
Cool. Yeah.
That's great.
Although that might make them want to stick around and have a beer. Bridget last night, she's in the 818, says, "I liked the Lay's potato chip commercial where the little girl grew the potato and then they turned it into chips." I don't remember that one. "Good storytelling," she adds. "I also liked the real people sending in selfies in the Taco Bell commercial." I don't think I saw that one either.
I don't remember those.
It's like people send in selfies. This is before I eat Taco Bell and this is after when my
I don't think we want
face
to see
is
that.
Really red and I've put on 5 pounds in one meal. Bridget adds, "It is a sign of the times that people can be part of the story." Ah, very well said. Thank you, Bridget. Anna in Madison, that's the 608. She says, "Welcome back, Pete. You and Jane were talking about reality shows. Did you know that Alec and Hilaria," I think I'm saying that right, "reality show starts on TLC on February 23rd. I did not know that, Anna. And I wonder if they'll go into the whole Rust controversy. I know they have like 7 kids.
Oh, yeah. I did see something about that the other day. And I'm like, just why, though? Why do you need a
reality show? Why are they having a show? Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Well, he's kind of a weird dude, you know? I mean, and that can make for interesting television, I guess. I don't know.
They should just make a podcast because there's not enough, you know? There's not enough podcasts.
There's not enough podcasts. We need more podcasts. And we need more television, too, apparently. Steady Eddie from the 608. He says, "Pete, glad you didn't die and are feeling better." Well, thank you, Steady Eddie. Appreciate that. He says, "The NFL goes out with a dud and a whimper. I took a snooze at halftime and missed the halftime show and most of the commercials. Was I dreaming when I saw Seal turned into a seal?" I don't know, Steady Eddie. Steady Eddie's post-football season prediction. He predicts that Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce will soon announce his retirement from the NFL. He has looked old and slow this year. I think a lot of people think that. Steady Eddie continues, "Travis Kelce will then announce he has married Taylor Swift and will from now on demand to be known as the first gentleman of pop, Mr. Taylor Swift." Steady Eddie. keep those texts coming, folks. We just ran out of time last day. We had so much fun talking to Mike Clemens, and it sounded like he had a blast in New Orleans, and he had great stories. So we ran out of time, but thank you for sticking with us and sending those texts anyway. We always get to your texts. Even if for some reason we run out of time, we'll get to them the next day. Tom and Jackson, that's in the 414. He says, "Hi, guys. I tried calling. After a while, it cut off, so I am texting." Right after I plugged the phone lines.
The phone
we're
lines
having phone
open.
Line issues?
They're open.
They're open. But are they working? Are they?
They're open and good.
We do. Our phones can be finicky, but when we, what happens, Conrad? We restart it and then it works?
It's all good now.
Okay. Conrad got the tools out of the car. We are off to the races. The phones are working, peeps. But Tom says, "I tried calling. After a while, it cut off, so I'm texting. I am wondering if you will be having Mary Mack on anytime soon. Also, Pete has one of the best radio voices on Civic Media. Glad to hear you are feeling better." Well, thanks, Tom. That's very nice of you to say. It's funny you say that about Mary Mack because she was supposed to do our popcorn pick of the week last Thursday, but I was sick, and I think we put Conrad put a best of together, and we aired that instead. We're trying to get Mary Mack rebooked. She's great, and we can't wait to have her on again. So ideally, it will be to make the popcorn pick of the week because I think she would have a lot of fun with that. But just having her on the show is great, and obviously, we will keep you posted. And thank you for the nice words, Tom, very much. From the 920, between now and summer, definitely looking forward to the Door County and Wisconsin Film Festivals, the NFL Draft in Green Bay, and unrelated to those three, some quality protests when the weather gets nicer. Kurt Krause. Kurt's been on the show.
He also said on the stream some very nice phone lines.
Oh, he did? Very fine phone lines. Is he being sarcastic?
No, that was when you were plugging it at the beginning of the show.
That Kurt was dissing our phone lines. Only I can do that. I'm just kidding. Good to hear from you, Kurt. Thank you, buddy. From the 608, Melissa in Madison says, "Film festival, duh." Okay, Melissa. Wow. Kind of an escalation there from Melissa. yeah, film festivals are great, Melissa. So I hope whatever one you are attending is a winner because they are all so much fun. And I agree with you. That is a great, and Wisconsin has great film festivals all over the state, and I think at least two or three of them in the spring. I know Wisconsin is the big one, probably in, I think it's in April. I know it's in April. Door County is this weekend. Speaking of Kurt Krause, we had Kurt and Chris Opper on, and I want to say Beloit is coming up. I'm not sure. From the 608, Ed from Madison says, lots of local theater in Madison and Milwaukee. That is a great answer, and that's the way to do it. Like, to me, when you live in a winter-heavy state or a state that has mostly cold months like we do, you have to go see either movies, live theater. You gotta have those fun indoor activities. That is, if you're not a snowmobiler, ice fisher, those are all fine activities as well. Keep those texts coming and calls. We have a couple more on the stream. We'll get to soon. Craig, sit tight. I see your text. I see you, buddy. He says he's looking forward to the Captain America movie. I think I can get this in. He says, I'm also looking forward to this weekend's Door County Film Festival, as we just mentioned. I was lucky enough to be part of three of the movies connected to this year's showing. So it's the Craig Anthony Kinnett Film Festival is what it should be, probably what it should be called. All right, we're coming back. After the news, Civic Media's news team works hard to keep you informed. After they do that, we'll be back with retired Appleton police officer Mark Motorson, who's going to tell us about a true crime event in Appleton this Thursday. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Our question tonight, what are you doing? What are you most looking forward to between now and summer? All the big stuff is done. The holidays, the Super Bowl. We got a long way to go here, folks, till summer. What are you most looking forward to? What's going to help you get through the winter? That is tonight's question. And we've got some great texts. Feel free to text or call 855-752-4842. We will get to some more of your texts shortly. Rob Thomas is coming up at 7:20. We're going to talk movies with Rob and some St. Valentine's Day activities happening in Madison this weekend. Rob writes about those. He is also in addition to being a very fine film critic in Madison, he is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. So he's got his finger on the pulse. Right now, it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time former Appleton PD detective and board member of the Appleton Historical Society, Mark Motorson. Mark, hi.
Thanks for inviting me, Peter.
It's great to have you here. Did you find the place okay?
Yes, my son brought me up here and dropped me off. So,
is this the son that I confuse you with that is also a police officer?
Well, our son, Mark Jr., retired in January of last year.
Okay.
From the Appleton Police Department.
And he drove you up here?
He drove me up here.
Where is he now?
He went to Fleet Farm.
Oh, okay. So you just ran an errand?
You just ran an errand.
Do you have a curfew? Do you have to be done at a certain time, Mark?
I do not.
Okay, good. He's welcome to join us, too. It'd be nice to have two police officers. Sometimes you need backup, even if you're on the radio,
right? That's true.
Okay. Well, tell us about, this is a really cool event. I saw this when I was just kind of combing through the newspapers. It's True Crime Appleton Crime Stories. It's this Thursday, February 13th, from 5 to 7 at the Appleton Historical Society. And you're the main man. Tell us about it, Mark.
Well, one of the board members actually mentioned it to me. I was starting to tell him some of the stories when I was on the police department, and they said, well, how about if you tell those stories on our Thursday night presentation series? So I said, sure, I'd be willing to do that. So I've got a number of them that I wrote down.
So you're going to share these stories Thursday night. That's pretty much what it is you telling true crime stories that you really experienced.
And these are kind of old ones. I mean, these are back from probably the 1970s, 1980s.
See, I find those kind of more fascinating when you didn't quite have the technology that we have now. And I know you've been retired a while, but were those cases comparatively harder to solve because you didn't have DNA or some of the modern technology, or were they easier somehow?
They were a lot harder. And like fingerprints, you had to know your suspect's name to match up fingerprints.
Wow.
You know, now they have what they call APHIS, where it's automated computer machine.
Yeah.
Where everybody's fingerprints go into that computer. But back then you had to know who your suspect was to match those prints up.
So you could pull the print from the scene, But then you'd have to, it wouldn't do you
any
good.
You had to have a name.
Oh my gosh. So, all right. Pardon me. So tell me, if people come out Thursday, what will the evening be like? Do you get introduced? Is there a moderator? And then do people get to ask you questions, or do you just start in with the stories?
I think I'll just start with the stories, and, okay. And at the end they can ask me some questions.
Oh, that's great.
Some of the stories are going to be fairly short, you know, just things that kind of stood out.
Yeah.
And there's some larger cases I work that I really don't want to talk about.
Really? But will you?
I will not.
You will not. No. You just won't go there. Okay.
I won't go there.
Interesting. So let me ask you this, Mark. My daughter kind of got me into true crime a couple of years ago, and it was something we would do. And I was kind of, it's amazing how, and I'm sure you can relate to this being an actual police officer, but how you get desensitized. Like, I would watch true crime stuff and I'm like, I can't watch that. It's about a kid. Well, 5 years later, I'm watching everything. I'm just so, it's still horrifying, but it's really fascinating how police solve cases. And is that typically what you think people want to hear when they come to see a talk like you give, what your process was? Or are they more interested in the bad guys?
I don't know, because I've never done it before.
Oh, you've never done this before?
Okay. I have not.
Okay.
No.
Well, you should.
It'll be my first time.
All right. Well, let us know how it goes.
All right, I will.
All right, Conrad. Wait, this is 5 to 7. Should we send a crew there?
I mean, if you can produce and do the show, I can go out there.
You know, the talk actually is going to start at about 6:30.
Okay.
So it might run till like 7 or 7:30.
So you just have to produce. I'll run out. I'll come back and let you know how it goes.
We don't have our own crew, Mark, to cover these kind of things, unfortunately. So we'll just have to have you back on the show, I guess, and find out how it went. What is the difference between crime and true crime? For some reason, the term true crime became this huge thing, and everybody calls it true crime. Why do we call it that and not just crime stories?
And I don't know, because I didn't come up with that term. One of our board members did.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's all over the place. I mean, do you like to watch that stuff on TV?
You know, the one I've been watching lately actually is the FBI Files.
Okay.
I hadn't seen that until up like a month ago, and I love that show.
What is that? Do you know what that's on or what platform is that?
I do not.
Okay.
It's called FBI Files.
Why do you like, is it realistic or is it?
It's they recreate a lot of the major crimes that went on that the FBI investigated back in the probably the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
Okay. Wow, that's great. All right, so can you give us a little teaser of something you might start off with on Thursday night?
Well, you know, I guess I have to go back and talk about when I was hired on the police department, which everybody that was hired back then were usually high school graduates, which I was.
Yeah.
No college, but a lot of us just came out of the military.
Okay.
And I had just come out of the Air Force a few months earlier. And so you're hired as a beat walker. So you walk beat in Appling. We had 3 beats downtown. And the west end of College Avenue for 3 blocks was a bad area. We had to have 2 guys walking together, because in those 3 blocks, there was probably 10 bars. Hmm. We had 18-year-old beer bars and 21-year-old liquor bars. All these young kids got out at the same time. And so a lot of times you could not even drive a squad car through that area.
Really?
When they got out, because there was beer bottles being thrown at your squad cars. And the police were all called pigs, because you also had the Vietnam War going on.
Oh, right.
And so there was a lot of bad stuff going on around, bad feelings at that time.
So when you say walk the beat, did you actually walk? Were you guys walking, casing the neighborhood on foot?
Was like Wisconsin Avenue was like our second major street, had a lot of businesses on it. We had 2 beats on there, and each beat was 1.5 miles long. Plus about a block or two on each side of Wisconsin Avenue. Our job was to check all the doors and windows. So you had to constantly walk all night.
Wow. Good way to get your steps
in. In downtown, we had 3 beats. Those were shorter beats, but they ran north of College Avenue. College Avenue is our main street. And the beats would probably go 4 or 5 blocks on one side and maybe 2 blocks on the other, depending on how many businesses lined that area.
No kidding.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about one of the things that I came upon.
Yeah, please.
So one day I was ready to get off work about 4 o'clock in the morning, and a delivery driver from Quaker Dairy came at running in, and he said he just came to work about 4 o'clock, and there were 2 men huddled in this store under a tarp with an acetylene torch or torching the safe. So a number of us went over there, and everything was still set up. The torch was running, but they were gone. about maybe a month later, I was walking beat in that area, and I was on the east side of the Quaker Dairy store, and it runs along, the back of it runs along the railroad tracks. And I looked down to the other side of the block, and I saw a man there, and he saw me, and he ran towards the front of the store. So I ran along the front of the building down to the next block to chase him, and he was gone when I got there. I called in, squads arrived, we couldn't find him. When I was standing there, I heard a noise behind me. I looked back, and another man had just jumped out of the second story of the building, and he took off running the other way. We didn't find him either. The next morning, somebody called in and said they found a bag of tools by the railroad tracks. A detective told me that this was a burglary gang, and that the police had an informant in the gang. And the informant told the detective that the man in the second story had a gun on me when I ran underneath the building, underneath his window. And if he thought I was going to catch his partner, he was going to shoot me. And he said, these guys carry guns a lot. So about maybe a month or two later, we found out that the informant had told the detectives that these burglars were going to break into a school in Applin. So the detectives had men in the school. And when the two men broke in, they were crouched by a hallway. And one of them looked like he was carrying a long-barreled gun. And the detectives yelled out for them to put their hands up. And they didn't. And the captain of detectives fired two shots, killed one of the burglars, and wounded the other one.
In a school?
In a school.
And what year would this be, Mark?
That would have been probably in the early 70s.
No kidding. Wow.
And it was not a gun that they were carrying. It was a pry bar.
But
the police thought it was a gun.
Sure.
Because the informant has said that they carried guns a lot of times.
What? That is that normal for like a robbery crew to be willing to become violent like that?
It's not normal, but you never know.
Nowadays, it's
probably more normal.
Yeah,
I think there's more people carrying guns nowadays. But they found out later that a businessman in Applin was the one that was bringing these burglars in from out of state. I think they were coming in from, not out of state, but out of the area. I think they were from Madison or Milwaukee.
Okay.
And they were older. These guys were in their 40s, which is kind of unusual for burglars. But this businessman was setting up businesses in Applin that he thought might be have money in. The Quaker Dairy store they were burglarizing was probably the most burglarized store in Applin because the store carried a lot of cash in their safe because they sold milk and they sold ice cream and different products.
Okay.
And so they got a lot of cash in.
Wow. So is that the story you're going to open with on Thursday?
That's probably the one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And it puts you right in the epicenter of it too, which is great. My guest is Mark Motorson. He's a retired Appleton PD detective, and he is a current member of the Appleton Historical Society Board. And do you do podcasts too?
I've been on a number of radio stations, but I've never done a podcast.
Not your own. Okay. Gotcha. No. Okay. So talk about walking the beat, Mark. Do police officers still see that? I really don't ever see that anymore, I don't think.
Appleton, I think, has some daytime ones once in a while.
Okay.
But, back in the day, we had most of them were nighttime beat walkers. But then we had our beats years ago was 8 at night till 4 in the morning. And then we had some beats that were 9 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon and 10 in the morning till 6 at night. But those were usually like one beat.
Okay.
We had a lot of nighttime ones.
Did you feel like at night walking the beat, did you feel more exposed or is it something you didn't think about because that's what police officers did then?
Well, you walked all around the buildings too. So you're walking alleys at 3 or 4 in the morning by yourself. But wow. And the radios weren't that great back then.
Yeah.
When you were a beat walker, you also drove squads sometimes. So one night I was driving squad and I heard a radio call come in. This was about, about 11 o'clock at night that somebody just held up a gas station with a shotgun on Wisconsin Avenue. So I was on the south side of Applin. So it was the getaway vehicle was a 69 Blue Chevelle. So I drove over to east of the College Avenue Bridge on a one-way, on a one-block street, and I parked there. About 5 minutes later, a blue 69 Chevelle came across the bridge towards me, and I followed it, and it pulled into a driveway about 8 blocks later. I pulled up behind it, and the young man got out, and he said, what's the problem? And I said, well, a vehicle described as yours just was involved in an armed robbery. I said, do you mind if I look in your car? And he kind of hesitantly said, no, go ahead. So I went, walked up to the driver's door, looked in, and here was a shotgun laying in the front seat.
Whoa. Wow.
And so the young man, I handcuffed him and searched him, and he had a big butcher knife stuck down the back of his belt, bit by his back. And he said, the money's in the glove compartment. And later when I talked to him, I said, why'd you rob the gas station? I needed money for a car payment. I said, how much did you need? He said, $69. I said, you only got $23 from the gas station. I said, what would you have done then? He said, robbed another gas station. But his departing words were, this was in October. He says, does this mean I can't go deer hunting next month? And I said, no, you can't go deer hunting.
You should have sold the son or the knife or the gun. He might have gotten more than. My guest is Mark Motorson. We'll be right back with more true crime stories with our guest here at Nightlight. This is Pete Schwabba and the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From the 920, Joshua in Wausau says, don't usually get to message. I usually hear your show at 4 a.m. Replay. Okay, nothing wrong with that, Joshua. Thanks for listening even then. He says, but I'm looking forward to going snowshoeing now that we have snow. Yeah, I know winter people are very excited about this most recent snowfall. And it was fun to look out the window the other day and see other people partaking in all these outdoor activities I have no interest in. But good for you, Joshua. And thank you for the text. I appreciate you listening. Even if it's at 4 a.m, it's good to have yours on the show. My guest in studio here is Mark Motorson. He's a retired Appleton police detective, and he is a board member at the Appleton Historical Society. And he's hosting an event, or he's the subject of an event, this Thursday from 5 to 7, February 13th, called Appleton, True Appleton Crime Stories. He is with us in the studio right now, and we're happy to have him. Mark, we were just talking during the break about how I was saying when I was a kid, even in the city of Chicago, and the police officers would, when they would come to the school, would say, we never draw our guns. We just don't. It's not like on TV and all that. And you said in your almost 29-year career, you never fired your weapon, but you pulled it 4 or 5 times. What would constitute that? Like, what would get you to draw your weapon when you felt at risk or when someone else was at risk? Or would you?
Well, if we thought the person was armed,
okay,
you know, we're going to naturally have our weapons drawn. But I think there's more violent crime now than before.
Really?
Back in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Well, in the I've noticed that even in where I live in Marinette, the police have like armored. It's like they drive around in little tanks and have body armor and all this. So I wondered if it was a lot more dangerous now, or if it's just they have access to that, so why not take the precaution, right?
Well, I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, we didn't have a SWAT team, or at least in the 70s for sure. I don't remember when we first got our SWAT team. But when I was hired, most of our squads didn't have shotguns. The officers bought their own shotguns.
Their own. Wow.
The shotgun I carried in my squad car, I used for deer hunting.
I don't know that the police in Marinette, I don't know that we have a SWAT team there either. I'm just saying they look like they're very well equipped in terms of their own protection and arms that they carry around. So it would, and Marinette is a town of maybe 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, but is Appleton, like, have you lived there your whole life?
I have, yes.
Okay. You feel like it's a pretty safe town. It's got a great reputation.
I think it's very safe. I always told people that I think Applin has a lot better class of criminals.
But criminals nonetheless.
But criminals nonetheless.
It probably helped that you were there, too. Is there a case that you had that you found more interesting than others, or that that gave you fits, or one that you can talk about that you might share Thursday night?
Well, I mean, there's a few cases that I never solved, which you always think about.
Yeah.
One of them that was called a bust out, where a man came to Applin and opened a checking account and then went out and used his checks to buy small items at stores, and the checks were always good. And then he was in Applin for about a year. And then on a holiday weekend, when he went out to a lot of these stores, there was some jewelry stores and stores that sold like wash machines and different kinds of stores. He'd always spend, you know, small amounts of money with a check and got to know the managers pretty good. Would make his way to make sure he knew the managers by name and they knew him. Then on a holiday weekend, He went back to these stores and bought large items for large amounts of checks. He had a rental truck. He loaded everything into his rental truck and then took off. And all the checks bounced. And there was probably, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 worth of items that he bought. And they eventually found the rental truck actually at an airport in Chicago. But we never solved the case.
Really? Now, that might be something that would, A, be a lot harder to pull off now, right? If you're the criminal. And probably easier to solve if you're the police nowadays, just with what they have access to?
I would say it's going to be easier to solve nowadays. Because there's more surveillance cameras. You have pictures. There wasn't that kind of stuff around back then.
We have to do the news soon, and I want to ask you about when we come back after the news, I want to ask you about what your favorite part of police work was. You walked the beat. You said you worked in narcotics or drugs for a while. I want to ask you when we come back what your favorite part of that was. And the mix up, I'm still cracking up because the questions I had for you, you know, you said, that's not me, that's my son. When I said, oh, your son won this award. Tell us about the award he won. That was a great story.
Well, our son, Mark Jr., was a police officer in Applin Police Department. He retired a year ago, January. And I think about 3 or 4 years ago, he got called to a burglary of a house, and he talked to the victims and took their report. And as part of your investigation, you go door to door to the neighborhood asking if they saw anything. And I think he was about a block away when he knocked on this woman's house door, and he heard a little noise, but he wasn't sure what it sounded like, a cat. And he knocked a few more times, and he thought it was a cat meowing. And he started listening more and more, and after a while he heard a real soft voice saying, help, help. And eventually they called the fire department. They got into the house, and they found an elderly woman laying on the living room floor that had fallen 4 days earlier, and she laid there for 4 days. And they said later, after he took her to the hospital, the doctor said later that she was very near death.
That must make you feel great as a cop, I would imagine, like when you're actually serving people and saving someone's life. That's
right,
so great. So he comes from good stock, obviously. So we're going to do the news. We'll come back, Mark, and I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about Thursday night and your work, and then we'll let you get out of here because I know your son's probably going to be swinging back by to pick you up. All right. Mark Motorson is here. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Rob Thomas coming up at 7:20, and we will read more of your texts after the news. And Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.